Open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 25. Your Schofield Bible, page 1035. Beginning with verse 14, we'll read responsibly through verse 30. And let's stand, all of us standing, please, for the reading of the Word of God. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And let's finish together on the 30th verse. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And let's pray. Father, there's much to be learned. And we've learned a great deal over these years. But this is an inexhaustible book. And we have a preacher who's dedicated to the preaching and teaching of it. And we pray that you'd help us tonight to learn something more about what you want us to know. This is a good place. It's good to be here. But help us to realize the significance of our being in this place at this time and to grasp all that we can of that which is preached. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, that'll do till the first team gets here. Tonight I am going to preach a sermon from a text that I used not too long ago. It's sort of a twin sermon. There's some overlapping. I want to speak tonight on our mixed-up fundamental Christianity. Before I bring the message, let me remind you of the story. A certain man who was a man of means took a trip. He called three of his servants together, or employees together. He gave one 5 talents. That's 5 a bit of money, or some money, 5 portions of money. He gave one 2 talents, and he gave one 1 talent. He came back, the man who had 5 talents had doubled it, and he said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many." He turned to the fellow who had 2 talents, and he said, "How have you done?" He said, "I've doubled mine, I have 4. And he said, "Well done." Same thing he said to the fellow who had 5 and came back with 10. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many." He turned to the fellow who had 1 talent. Now I want you to follow me carefully. He turned to the fellow who had 1 talent, and he said, "How'd you do?" "Well," he said, I got the same talent. I went and I dug a hole, put it there, and I've got the same talent." Look at me now, no talking. Listen to me now, I got something to tell you. I want you to notice, without turning to it yourself, what this wealthy owner said. It is said of him, his Lord answered unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." What he's saying here, it's wicked to be lazy. "Thou wicked and lazy servant." He said, and then he said about him, later on it was said about him, "Cast ye the unprofitable servant." Now I want you to notice something about this man. He did not squander the money. He did not gamble it away in the casino. He did not spend it on riotous living. He did not go out and get drunk and use the money to buy some liquor. He did not blow it. He did not spend it on extravagance. The honest simple truth is that the Lord of the man, or the boss man, he broke even for him. And he was called. Now, again, he came back with exactly what the guy gave him. But he was called a wicked and slothful servant and an unprofitable servant. I want to talk to you tonight. I want you to listen very carefully to every word, because I'm going to make a play on some words tonight. I want you to listen very carefully. I'm going to tell you how wicked some of you folks are that never have tasted a drop of whiskey. I'm going to tell you how wicked some of us are who never smoked a cigarette. I'm going to tell you how wicked some of you folks are that have a King James Bible and hate all the others. I want you to hear me carefully tonight. Our Heavenly Father, help me as I speak. As you know, I'll not be long tonight, but I'll be pungent and I'll say some things that the folks ought to hear, because I love them, not because I want to hurt them, but help them. Please help me as I speak tonight. Amen. It may smart a little bit tonight. It may burn just a little bit. It may hurt a bit. And it may become easy for some of you to be offended tonight. But if you'll heed what is preached from this pulpit, when the judgment seat of Christ comes, you'll lean over to me and say, "Thanks a lot." Because what I'm going to say tonight will help prepare you for the day when you'll be given rewards according to your works. We're so mixed up in our independent Baptist fundamental Christianity. The first place, we're mixed up about sin. Let me explain with one sentence. The bad thing about sin is not what it does to us. The bad thing about sin is what it keeps us from doing. Now, a person who quits all of his sin and does nothing is a wicked and unprofitable servant. The Christian that doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, doesn't gamble, comes every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, reads his Bible every day, prays every day, but never wins the soul to Christ, never does anything positive for the cause of Christ. God says you are wicked and slothful and unprofitable. I did not say that. God said that. I'm saying we're so mixed up about sin. Now follow me again. This is almost the same statement. We are also likewise so mixed up about separation. Ladies and gentlemen, separation is not an end in itself. It is a means to an end. Let me give you four statements about separation. One is, separation is refraining from doing that which keeps us from doing what God made us to do. Statement number two, separation is the fixing of the car so it can run and not sit attractively in the garage. Separation is you getting yourself in a position so you can do what God wants you to do. And if all you do is separate yourself from the world, I'm saying if all you do is dot every fundamental eye, cross every fundamental teeth, you ladies don't wear pants, you don't wear shorts, you don't wear mini skirts, you men get a haircut, you don't wear earrings, you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't use dope, you don't watch the things on the TV you shouldn't watch, and you don't listen to music you shouldn't listen to, and yet you never do bring a profit for God, then you are a wicked person. Did you hear what I said? No, I didn't call. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at him. He's the one that said it. He said, you are a wicked person. Some of the wickedest people in the world are sitting right here tonight. You love me. You love this church. You're faithful to this church. I'm trying to help you. You're going to stand before God someday, and God's going to reward you according to your works, and some of you are going to go empty-handed and not be rewarded. But some of you are going to listen to what I say tonight, and you're going to stand before God some of these days at the judgment seat, and you're going to look at me and say, preacher, I appreciate the fact that you preached that sermon that night and told me that I, an independent, fundamental, King James Bible only, separated Baptist Christian, was wicked and slothful and unprofitable to God. Separation, statement three, it is the repairing of the watch so it can be wound and run. It is not getting, listen to this, separation is not getting right with God. It is getting into a position so you can get right with God. Getting right with God is serving Him. Separation is only putting you in a position so you can serve Him. If you're drunk, you can't serve Him. If you're on dope, you can't serve Him. If your mind is filled with filth, you can't serve Him. So separation is not an end in itself. It is not getting right with God. You can quit everything you want to quit and still not be right with God. You can't be right with God until you are doing the thing that God put you on earth to do. And that's obeying what you're supposed to do. I said we're mixed up about sin. I said we're mixed up about separation. Number three, we're mixed up about conversion. Conversion is not just getting saved. That's salvation. Conversion is the recycling of a person so he can do what he was meant to do. Ladies and gentlemen, God has a job that He intends everybody in this room to do. God didn't, as I said so often, God had a job to do, and God made you to do that job. You're no uh-oh with God. You're no accident with God. God didn't look down one day and see you and say, I wonder who he is. I better keep him busy. He's going to get in trouble. No, God had a job to do, and God, listen to me, God made you to do that job. Now, the reason you're supposed to be separated is because you need to get yourself in a position so you can do the thing that God put you here to do. I said again, getting right with God is not quitting your sin. Getting right with God is, after you quit your sin, putting yourself in a position so you can get right with God by doing that which God made you to do. Now then, let me go to an old illustration I've used many times here. Back in World War II, as you know, I was a paratrooper. In those days, we jumped out of what we call C-46s and C-47s airplanes. 18 men would jump out of a plane. Only 18 men could get in the plane, 9 on each side, in a C-46 and C-47. After I got discharged from the Army after World War II was over, I was taking a trip on a DC-3 airplane. And back in those days, didn't have jets, just had small prop planes. So I was on this DC-3 plane. It looked familiar to me. And I said to the little stewardess on the plane, I said, this plane looks familiar to me. And she said, I bet you used to be a paratrooper, didn't you? I said, as a matter of fact, I was. And she said, this is a C-46 or 7, whichever, C-46, C-47. She said, this is a C-47 airplane converted for passenger service for civilians. Now, what they've done is they've taken that C-47 plane and cleaned it out, rearranged the seating, put seats on the side facing the front instead of seats along like this where the pastors faced each other. Now, when that C-47, don't miss it now, when that C-47 plane was cleaned up and changed to a DC-3, it was not converted. It wasn't converted till it put some pastors on it and flew the passengers. For the remodeling, if you please, a refurbishing of the old C-47s and C-46s into DC-3s, that was not the conversion. That was getting them in a position where they could be converted. Don't you recall Jesus said to Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. I'm talking tonight to a bunch of DC-3 airplanes. You no longer are for war. You're for peace. You no longer are used for jumping. You now are used for civilian traffic. But you are not converted yet. You have had the inside redecorated. You've had the seats changed. But you're not converted. And ladies and gentlemen, you're not converted because you start doing what God saved you to do. Salvation and conversion are not the same things. So I'm saying the converting of the C-47 was this, getting it able to be converted. As it was before, it could not have been used for civilian transportation or for a commercial airliner. It had to be converted to get it ready for service. I'm looking at a bunch of DC-3s sitting here tonight, never have carried a passenger. I'm looking at a bunch of DC-3s tonight who never have taken off the ground since you became a DC-3. God's not interested in what you don't do unless what you don't do enables you to do what He made you to do. As I said a while ago, Jesus said to Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. If Peter doesn't strengthen the brethren, he's not converted. If Peter just says, I'll never curse again, I'll never deny the Lord again, I'll never deny the faith again, I'll never deny the church again, I promise you I'll never do what I did before, Peter is still not converted. When Peter was converted, he was standing back end of a pickup truck on the corner of Elm and Ackert Streets in Jerusalem, preaching to 3,000 people, walked out and got saved. Again, conversion, ladies and gentlemen, is not being changed, it is doing what you were changed to do. That's what conversion is. We bought the Capuchin Seminary out in Crown Point, 8400 Burr Street. How we changed that. We cleaned out all the liquor, and I'm not kidding you, I'm not criticizing anybody, but the Catholics out there had a bunch of liquor. I don't care if it's Catholics or Baptists or Presbyterians, back as wicked as the devil, and quit calling it a seminary, call it a tavern, like you ought to call it. Now, we changed that Capuchin Seminary, and changed it to an independent fundamental Baptist college. But now conversion is not cleaning it or cleansing it or getting it ready for use. Conversion is when some hellfire and brimstone preacher stands up on chapel and preaches to a bunch of students and gets them right with God and gets them ready to go out and serve God. So I'm simply saying there are a lot of people in this room, you're saved, but you've not been converted. Oh, you're saved, preacher. I don't do what I used to do. But do you do what you used to didn't do? Did you hear me? Conversion is not quitting what you used to do. It's starting what you used to not do. It is quitting your drinking and your dancing and your immodest dress and all of that. But ladies and gentlemen, that is not all of it. Conversion is when you have quit the things you ought to quit so you can do the thing that God can change you to do. I'm a little tired of people standing up and testifying all they've quit. Somebody stand up and tell all you started. I say we're mixed up about sin. We're mixed up about separation. We're mixed up about conversion. Number four, we're mixed up about tragedy. Don't leave me. Don't miss me. We're mixed up about tragedy. Get this now. We look at a fallen man and lament over what he is. God looks at that fallen man and laments over what he is not. Two men sit side by side in the room tonight. Here's a man who's a wretch. Here's a man who's been drunk this week. Here's a man who's lived in sin. gone to the taverns and nightclubs and gentlemen's clubs and all of it. And he sits in this room tonight. Right beside him, there is a respectable citizen. You're sitting here tonight, perhaps beside somebody who's a rich, or if you're not sitting beside him, at least you and he are in the same building tonight. One man is a wretch. Another is a respectable citizen. But God sees them equal tragedies. Are you listening? God sees them equal tragedies. Because God does not look at what you are not. God looks at what you are. God looks at what you are not. And God doesn't look at the bad that you're doing only. He looks at the good that you're not doing. And ladies and gentlemen, the purpose of the work of God is to get people saved and get hungry people fed and get naked people clothed and get folks to straighten up and save marriages and save lives and warn our children about the devil. Now you listen to me. If you're not doing something for God, you are just as big a tragedy as the person who stumbles into our rescue mission. I promise you this. There's some, no doubt, some deacons here tonight. No doubt some Sunday school teachers. Respectable people. Members of our church. You put your tithe. And I'm not trying to get to hurt you tonight. I'm trying to get you ready to face your Savior one of these days. I'm telling you tonight, sitting there respectable. But God sees you as tragic as the street people set up there this morning whose lives are not counting for God. I'm saying, God does not see tragedy as to what you are. God sees tragedy as to what you're not doing for Him. One is a C-47. The other is a DC-3 parked in the hangar. Do you hear me? The wretch is a C-47. Not yet changed. And the respectable man who never wins a soul, never builds a bus route, never appeals a Sunday school class, never does anything for God, is a good-looking DC-3, repainted, inside upholstering, all is brand new, but he is sitting in the hangar, and neither is useful, and both are wicked and slothful, and both are unprofitable servants. We want to put him back to zero. Let me show you what I mean. Here's a fella who goes into deep sin. Whatever that is, I never have seen any shallow sin. He goes into sin. He's a wretch, alcoholic, addict, all the way to the bottom, whoremonger, all the way to the bottom. Now what we want to do is get that fella back to zero. But that's not what God wants. God wants that fella beyond zero. See, but he bought glory to God. He's cleaned up his act. Okay, he may have cleaned up his act, but has he got another act? Now listen, you're going to love me one of these days if you don't get mad at me. Some of you folks never win a soul, never knock on a door, never bring anybody to church. You've got a good chance 2 weeks from today to get in the act and quit being a DC-3 parked in the hangar and be converted for God's use. To us, tragedy is what he is. To God, tragedy is what he is not. We want to get him back. Get this now. Hear me carefully. We want to get him back to clean uselessness. Listen to every word. We want to get him back to clean uselessness. God wants him back for usefulness. And the purpose of him getting clean is so he can be useful, not so he can sit there like a mummy in the Egyptian museum, not so he can sit there like a relic and say, look at me, I don't curse, I don't drink, I don't... Well, what do you do? Listen carefully. God did not fix you to get you fixed. Hear me. God did not fix you to get you fixed. God fixed you to use you to fix others. God didn't fix you so he could say, boy, look at that good guy. He doesn't do this, doesn't do that. No, sir. God fixed you so you could fly in the air and take passengers and be converted rather than in the hangar doing nothing, just being a pretty new airplane. We admire respectability.
God admires productivity. Some of the most respected Christians I know are wicked people. Some of the cleanest Christians I know are wicked and soulful servants. Why? Because they're unprofitable. Now hold it. He didn't say, you have become a squanderer of my money. He said, I broke even on you, and I don't like that, and that's wicked. Now, some of you, you've gone into sin, and you heard the gospel, and you got saved, and you came right back up here. You're not doing a single thing more for God than you were back there. Follow me again. Oh, listen to this statement. The Pharisee is a clean, unproductive person criticizing a dirty, unproductive person. Did you hear me? Some of you folks are Pharisees. You sit and receive the scornful and criticize somebody who has living a dirty life when the truth is you're not doing any more for God than they are. You've been cleaned up, but you are not doing for the purpose what you got when God cleans you up. I said a Pharisee is a clean, unproductive person criticizing a dirty, unproductive person, and God had just as soon respect that man that you're criticizing as you Pharisees letting a whole world go to hell, doing nothing for God, and yet you look respectable. God did not make us not to do, but to do. God did not make us not to do bad. Hear me now. God did not make us to quit doing bad. God made us to start doing good. We are horrified when a person falls below zero, but not if he stays at zero. And I'll tell you what, we are horrified at a person that falls way down below zero, and Pharisees are equally horrified at a person that goes way above zero. Some of you Pharisees said in judgment when somebody stands on a street corner and preaches, what you all do, you're out beside them saying amen, helping them win souls. Now you listen to me. The guy who's too wicked is considered a fanatic, and the guy that's too righteous is considered a fanatic. I'm trying to say, God did not save you to get you back to zero. God saved you to bring some interest to his investment. A pretty car, hear me now, a pretty car out of gas can't take you any farther than a wrecked car. A Rolls Royce without gasoline can't take you any farther than a Model T Ford can that's wrecked. Now hear me carefully. God had rather have a fellow not quite as clean who'd take you somewhere. Let me talk to you ladies for a minute. All of us know that we have a faithful member of this church who used to spend her life selling her body in Northwest Indiana in Calumet City. She doesn't know the lingo. She wasn't reared in Sunday school. As almost a middle-aged lady, she came here and got saved. I'd be ashamed if I were you if she brought more souls down this aisle than I did if I were one of you ladies. Now, God's interested in getting the job done. I'm saying, if a person is not quite up to here and as righteous as you are, the question is, are you doing anything for God? I'm saying tonight, it's time some of you righteous people, good people, separated people, realize that you're not doing any more for God than a bunch of sinners are living in the whorehouses and the nightclubs. Now listen to me. I'm not trying to scold you. I'm trying to tell you you're going to stand before Jesus one of these days. A car with a flat tire, that's a beautiful Rolls Royce. That car won't take you any farther than a car that was smashed in a wreck and totally destroyed. God didn't change you to be good. God changed you to do good. We want a man to get out of his bad works. God wants a man to get out of his bad works so he can do good works. And if you are not doing your good works, you're no better than the sight of God. Hey, you're not productive. Here's two guys that work on a job. One guy gets drunk He's on the job, can't do his work. The other guy's lazy. He doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, doesn't take dope. He's just lazy, doesn't do his job. They're both getting the same amount of work done. And the guy didn't hire him to sit there and be righteous. The guy that hired, him to work. And God saved you, by cracky, to do something for him. Let me ask you a question. I'll close in a few minutes. Listen carefully. Did you win any more souls this year than Saddam Hussein did? Sit still. Oh, that wicked man, that vile wicked man. Yeah, so are you wicked. Wicked and slothful servant. Unprofitable. Somebody's going to say, I'm not going to sit here and listen to this. I'm not going to come back next Sunday night. That's why I'm plucking your tail feathers while you're here. You'll go join some church where the fellow wears lace on his underwear and hasn't got any conviction. Won't say, I'm trying to get you ready to meet God. You've got to face God one of these days. I'm trying to get you ready to look in the face of your Savior and be a profitable servant. And he's not going to check and see how much liquor you quit drinking, how many cigarettes you quit smoking, how clean you look, how separated you are. He's going to look and say, what did you do? You ask a question. Did you get any more people baptized last year than Fidel Castro did? Is your baptism record tonight in heaven the same as Fidel Castro's? Sit still. Ask a question. Did you bring any more people to church than Madeline Murray O'Hara did before she passed away? Did you bring any more people to church last year than Hugh Hefner did? Sit still. Answer me. Not out loud, but to yourself. Ask a question. Have you lifted any more fallen people than O.J. Simpson did? Oh, what a wicked man. Yes, he was wicked. He's a murderer. You know that. Oh, what a wicked man Hugh Hefner is with all this stuff. Well, bless God. God wants to know, if you're clean, what are you doing after you've been transformed? What are you doing for God?
Oh, young ladies. 20, 25, 30 years old. And ask a question. Did you get any more people saved last year than Monica Lewinsky did? Sit still. And ask a question. Did you bring any more folks to Christ and get them in this Baptist chair last year than John Wayne Gacy did? We are horrified at what John Wayne Gacy did, and we should be. But God is equally horrified at separated, clean, moral, respectable people who are respectable to do nothing. He said, you didn't squander it, waste it, spend it on liquor, but you didn't make me any profit. And you are a wicked and slothful servant. Unprofitable. Let me ask you the $64,000 question. Did you bring any more folks to Christ last year than Bill Clinton did? Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Clinton ought to get right with God. But he ought not, but he's not right with God if he quits all his philandering. If Bill Clinton gets as pure as the first snow of the autumn, or the winner, and is as clean as a hound's tooth, if you see in Texas, if he's clean as a hound's tooth and doesn't do anything for God, as far as God's concerned, he is wicked, he's unprofitable, and he is a slothful servant. Where do you stand tonight? I say it again. God did not fix you to get you fixed. God fixed you for you to get others fixed. And this fellow stood before
the wealthy landowner. And he said, what did you do? He said, I got your talent. I kept it. He said, that's wicked. But he said, I don't drink. I didn't drink a bit of whiskey while you were gone. You're wicked and soulful. But I didn't take any dough. You're wicked and soulful. I didn't go to a Hollywood movie. You're wicked and soulful. I said again, hear me and I'm true. God in heaven is not trying to get you to get out of the hell holes just to get you out of the hell holes. God's trying to get you out of the hell holes to get you in shape to get right with Him. And being right with Him is not being changed. Being right with Him is doing what God changed you to do. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So I ask a question. I'm not asking tonight if you're clean. I'm not asking tonight if you're faithful to church. I'm asking you tonight, what have you done for God? What have you done, and what are you doing for God? Our Heavenly Father, I put my finger tonight on some of the great mistakes of fundamental Baptists. We're trying to make separation an end in itself. We're trying to make forsaking sin an end in itself. And our Heavenly Father didn't come and save us just so we'd quit. But that we'd quit, and start. Speak to the hearts of our people. Let them know that I love them. I'm not trying to hurt them. I'm trying to get them ready to look face to face in the night.